On this week's show,
we talk about the Orville. That's great. We ended up talking about the Discovery too. That's shit.
The slowest man alive watched the fastest man alive in the quickest time possible, in able to catch up with everything that's gone in the Arrowverse.
And he's still fucking late.
And I've got some gaming news. Activision, gone to shit. Randy Pitchford, ooh, bad boy. An alien fucking blackout. Oh my god, how could you repeat the same shit twice?
Stay tuned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, space travellers, superheroes, and CFOs for Activision, because you're now out the door there and you could probably listen to a podcast. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And as always on these podcasting journeys, the man I can only describe as Captain Birdseye, it's Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
No, stop right there. I have a bone to pick with you. You always introduce me as the first time this year, right? This fucker has not turned up to a podcast this year. It's his turn to have the piss ripped out of him. Do it. I demand it.
It is only the second podcast of the year.
Minor semantic.
All right, okay. Let me do it again.
I did turn up because I went to Gareth's house to record something for the podcast. I was here.
He went on the main event.
He was.
Which is me.
He was here for the New Year's podcast, mate. So you can't win on that front because he just wasn't with you. And we've had our meetings with HR and we've spoken about you two arguing. Okay. So just remember what you both agreed to, that you'd be civilized and what do you call it? Anyway. Shall I reintroduce Keith? Keith, shall I reintroduce Nigel? Sorry.
Yeah.
No.
This is Nigel, right? This is Nigel from the terrorist wing of Captain Birdseye's naval fleet. There you go. Is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
And a man who would attach himself to a drone and fly off into the sky like a scary pink space whale.
If only they were big enough.
You need one of those sky crane helicopters, those really big ones.
Fuck off. Like, hello, people. Because he didn't finish off. Just say, hi, I'm here. Hello.
And and in this week's episode, we'll be talking about the latest episode of the Orville, the CW Arrowverse crossover event that they had. I've got some gaming news, and Keith wants to get his bits out on air. So, with much ado about nothing, let's get on with the Orville. So, Keith, you watched this week's episode of the Orville. I say version of the Orville because I keep fucking printing it. I don't know why I said that.
No.
So, the Homie, I think it was called.
Yeah, I got a beef with all the media reports for it because they all said, oh, this week we've got you know, somebody from Star Trek in it. Two main cast members from different Star Trek shows in that.
Technically, there were three people from Star Trek in it.
Was there?
Yeah.
Who's the third?
The Doctor. She played Cassidy Yates in Deep Space Nine. That's three. That's Cassidy Yates, the Doctor, holographic Doctor from Voyager, and Fox from.
Yeah, but she wasn't a main cast member. She's been in it since the beginning. But
she was from Star Trek.
But yeah, Vlox. They didn't mention it. All they mentioned was Robert Picardo, which it was quite good seeing him. But yeah, the Doctor from Enterprise was the bad guy, which I thought was quite a nice little twist. It was a bit of a sort of filler episode, and obviously a budget episode because, you know, some of that matte painting was terrible, but it was still more Star Trek than anything Discovery's pushed out. It just is.
That's back next week, isn't it? Is it back next week? Yeah, I think it is. I didn't really care about special effects. I quite like the episode, to be frank with you. I watched it and I felt it was a bit sad towards the end. because yeah, you kind of enjoyed watching that character, and it's like, oh.
They milked it a bit. They milked, they gave over almost 4 minutes of the milking it with the, you know, the emotional music of her hugging everybody. I found that a bit kind of over milked. But yeah, no, it was a good episode. It was a reasonable episode. It was a good twist. It was a good twist, I felt. Mm. And I like the fact they didn't do the old cliche of, even though they managed to find some way of bringing her back to the ship, she decided to stay. That was quite a nice little twist, which I knew was coming because of the leaked rumours, but I still thought it was quite nice that, you know, in Star Trek before, you get the, you know, where there's nothing ever sticks, and this is obviously for now stuck. But, you know, this is Seth MacFarlane, and Brian left Family Guy for 3 or 4 episodes and then came back again. And there are certain... I don't think we've seen the last of Alara reading between the lines. They've got some plan going on with her.
I don't think we've seen the last of her either. I'm with you on that one. I think it's a case that she wanted to go off and do some other bits, and it's a case of if they work out, she'll probably stay away, and if they don't, then she'll come back. And I think Steph MacFarlane went, I'll accept that. You know, you can come back if that's the case, and I'll keep room for you. The who was the bloody new guy with the external esophagus? I can't remember his name.
Oh, elephant.
But they had a new...
The elephant guy.
He's not an elephant guy. He's just, he had his esophagus is on the outside of his body, to which everyone looked at him and went, oh, right. And you've got Bortus, and he's just like winding him up as he's eating at the fucking console, which is like gross. And that's like, sometimes that's what happens when you get a new person and you start noticing the little things that they do, and starts kind of grating on you a bit. So I don't know if that character's going to last too long.
No, I think apparently it's another Solaran security officer. So that's apparent.
Ah. I did like the little touch where she left the jar of pickles for him.
Yes, I did. I thought that was quite nice as well. It was a reasonable episode. I don't know. I felt that it was a bit of a filler episode in many respects, but no. I liked it. I like the Orville. I can't really... it's not one I'd go back and watch again and again and again. But it was an okay episode. It was okay.
I think they're saving their money and doing something with a bit of spectacle towards the end.
Potentially, yeah.
I think you're going to find that. I think you're going to get towards that last episode. And I think they might have some Star Trek alumni in that one, which will be interesting.
We can't be Patrick Stewart anymore.
That's going to be a fucking disaster. That really is going to be a disaster. I did like the way they explained the high gravity at the beginning, where Gordon throws the bottle out because he wants to show how high the fucking gravity is on this planet. It's so high they can have a ring around it. That's how high the gravity is. You'd expect the people to be shorter, though. That's the thing that got me. I'd expect them to be a lot shorter and sporting two hearts, maybe. Because it's, you know, I'm not joking. Well, Gallifrey is supposed to be high gravity.
Yeah, I was
too.
About to say, the next thing you're going to be going, you know, running around in blue boxes and doing actual decent TV. Hey, Seth MacFarlane, you should be the next showrunner of Doctor Who.
Is that what we're going to do? We're going to award a good writer and a producer with "You should be the next showrunner of Doctor Who" once a week.
I mean, he should be the show. At this point, we would do a fucking better job.
Yeah, actually saying that, Nigel would do a better job considering he hasn't watched as much Doctor Who as everyone else. He'd still manage to fucking nail down the core concept.
God. Oh, mate, do you know, I'd come up with, you know, things and then ideas of the show and then sort of like go, so, Gareth, Keith, how do I make this into a Doctor Who episode? tell me, does this fit into the universe? No? Okay, what would I need to change? Okay, just this and this and this and this and this. Okay, so the whole... Okay, at least I've checked with somebody who knows about the Doctor Who universe and whether or not stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
And and you still would have done more than any of the current writers of Doctor Who. Well done, Matt.
Actually, you've done more than they've done in that sentence.
Yeah.
Let alone, they did for the entire show.
Feeling proud.
I know that he said he would tone down the Orville and whatnot, but it is kind of, he's kind of drifting towards more the characters than he is the kind of sci-fi exciting bits for the last couple. It's not that it's been bad; it's been good, but it's like is he trying to keep the people at fucking Paramount happy or CBS happy so he doesn't get sued? Because I want it like it was in the first series, where it was like you had the sci-fi concept, the B storyline was the character bit, and you were trying to deal with that kind of like Star Trek.
At this point in time, I can't see them going after him, going after the Orville or him. I mean, you look at, they went after that guy that was making Axanar, and neither of them won the case. The guy that was making fan fiction didn't lose the case either. So he is able to make two more episodes of stuff. So I don't know. I think CBS are pretty unpopular at the moment. So I think with all the Discovery controversy, which I think they are knocking on the head.
Hold on a second. Are you talking about the tardigrade lawsuit?
I know. I'm talking. Well, yeah, there is that. Which is dear God, how is it even a lawsuit? The judge should just go, yeah, you stole it, pay him the fucking money. There is no argument here. There is absolutely no fucking argument. I don't understand how they're getting away with this. It is utterly wrong. But
I'll give you a quick update, because the guy put an update on his website and he turned around and said, right, we've been told that we no longer have to provide evidence to CBS to defend ourselves. But we can ask for lots of evidence from CBS as of the court.
Good.
Which is, what was that regarding? A good thing. There was a guy who created a game back in 2014, which he's been still working on because he hasn't got as much time. And it involved a set of characters, which happened to be the same set of characters from Discovery. Right. They all wore blue uniforms, and in Discovery, they all wear blue uniforms, even though that we know in Star Trek, some people wear red. Don't we, Keith?
Yes.
The guys were red, and then because you had like colours to denote what kind of rank or function you were. So
red and yellow.
But
it was red, yellow, green, and that. But and blue were the colours. But everyone wore blue, which seemed very odd because there was no, you couldn't tell who was doing what. It was a very Star Trek-y thing to colour code your personnel in regards to function. The only people who could get away with it were Troy, until someone figured out she hadn't been wearing a uniform for years, and the station personnel on DS9. Oh, and some of the what do you call them? Oh, the Marquee on Voyager, but yeah. They then wore uniforms after a while. But they were all color coded. In the Next Generation, it's like red for command. So if you're in command, you wore a red shirt. Yeah. If you were a science, you'd wear blue. If you were engineering, you'd wear green. Yeah, that's how they did it. And then in the original series, which this Discovery is closer to, you'd wear yellow or gold for being in charge, red for security, blue for science, and I don't know what Scotty wore. Scotty wore, what did red. Scotty wear? Did he red. Wear red? Yeah, so the long and short, but for some reason, Discovery decided to make everyone's uniforms blue, which somehow was the same colour of uniforms that this guy had for tardigrades.
Essentially, half the fuck, even the tardigrade even looks like it does in the game. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious. Like the gay doctor, engineer, they're in the game. The storyline literally was stolen from the game, and to the point where it's blatantly copied. And I don't know how they got away with it, but I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about how much they pissed off the fans, and you know, regardless of the fact that both CBS and Paramount and Disney won't admit this, they damn well know they've done it. They're paying for it. The Star Wars franchise is in absolute meltdown at the moment, and they reckon that episode 9 isn't going to win the Back the Fans. I mean, Gareth is not on his own in the fact that he's done with Star Wars, and I don't blame him. Star Trek is becoming dangerously close to that, because Star Trek 4, by the sounds of it, has been canned. You've got things like the Orville, which is 10 times more popular than Discovery.
Hold on a second. There apparently some leaked information from Netflix in Canada indicated that the Star Trek Discovery viewing figures in Canada reached 44,000 viewers.
And that's a country that's meant to be woke.
Yes.
So, you know,
these people who fucking scream and shout aren't your fucking customers. Do not confuse them with your customers. They're 8% of a fringe fucking population. They don't count.
Yeah, and even the people that you would classify as SJWs, which is like most of Canada. no, I'm joking there. If you're Canadian and listen to it, that was a joke. But your prime minister is. Even that, most people didn't like Star Wars and don't like Discovery, because it's not what they are. It's not the show. And yes, you can modernize shows, but still keep that ethos. You keep the Star Wars ethos. You keep the Star Trek ethos. You look at Axelon. I come back to this and I go and watch this, because that is how you modernize Star Trek. It was bloody good, and it was fan made effectively, and it is still, to me, one of the best fan fiction pieces of entertainment I have ever seen. It is bang on. Yeah. And then you look at the Orville. The Orville is everything Discovery should be, and it just isn't. So Gareth is predicting the Picard series is going to be an absolute nightmare. I like the premise. I do like the sound of the premise. I think the premise sounds interesting. But they
right, hang on. Right. The premise of the thing is to deal with the fallout from the Romulan Empire being destroyed.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense, yeah? Because you had that their sun went supernova. Yeah? It's quite easy to predict supernovas. We can predict supernovas from fucking hundreds of thousands of light years away here on Earth now with no technology. Yeah, if you're living next to said star, so the only way they can do it is to turn around and say that someone attacked the star and made it go supernova.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the only way out. But if they don't do that, which I've got a feeling, given the fact that they don't really give a shit about Star Trek lore, they're just going to say it went supernova.
Maybe.
That's it. So the whole thing is set up. If it doesn't do that, because that would make a great mystery, a through line. Who the fuck did it? Yeah? Was it the fucking Borg? Was it the Jem'Hadar? Was it the Breen? Yeah? Was it the Breen left over from the fucking Dominion War that caused it to go thingy? Was it the sodding Cardassians? Yeah? And I don't mean Kim and her sisters.
These were words I don't understand.
Okay. But that's fine.
Put it this way. And one thing, you just mentioned the Breen, which only ever really turned up in DS9. The helmets they wear, that was blatantly nicked from Leia in The Return of the Jedi when she turns up to rescue Han Solo. The helmet is fucking identical.
The idea of having those suits was nicked off from fucking B5, because they're in counter suits, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because it's like you can't survive, and it... Yeah.
And the last episode of Voyager, Nick, my fucking idea was mine. I should have fucking painted that idea.
That wasn't your idea. That came from Batman.
Shut up. It's my idea.
You know what she should have done? Is she should have pressed the button to put that fucking armor up on the ship and gone, I'm Batman. You can't touch me. Why? Because I'm Batman. This is what Batman would have done against the Borg.
Oh, dear, brilliant.
See, that would have... But I think the Picard one's going to be a disaster. I think this will be the last series of Discovery. I think that they will wipe it from the fucking books after this, because of apparently they're getting tax benefits for doing the Picard series in LA, because they want more people to fill in LA because it's so fucking expensive there. It's causing issues because everyone just fucks up off to Canada or to New Mexico or to Georgia because it's cheaper to film there.
Yeah.
So they're going to give them tax benefits for that. And if they're doing that, they're not going to be one of to be carting the head of the production staff backwards and forwards from these two areas, because it's going to cost them a lot of money. So I think this is the last series of Discovery.
Probably.
Given the little suits and everything. So this will be the last. So enjoy it. If you really liked it, Discovery. Sorry, guys.
You see, the first half of Discovery is going to be much and much of the same. The second half of Discovery of this season will be interesting. Because halfway through, it goes got a load of new showrunners, though. So that's going
to
be interesting.
This is the new showrunner. This is new showrunners start to finish.
No, it's not.
Yep.
A number of the episodes were produced under the old ones. They left midway through filming season two.
Series one, and you can see it.
No, they left.
They went through series one, and then the moment they finished series one, they were removed from the project. And the moment series one finished, then they were fired. They were removed halfway through. You can see the shift. Go back and watch it, and you'll see a shift in the way the episodes are. And that's when they went.
I read differently that they left midway through season two, that the first few episodes of season two were produced under the old showrunner, the gay one, because he was on that afterwards.
There were two showrunners.
Yes, him and a woman.
Yes.
And they were both asked to leave. Probably because they stole the whole fucking idea, but that's another matter. Anyway, it's going to be interesting, but no, I don't think Discovery is going beyond a season. I don't think Discovery will get a season three. Not in a million years.
Yeah, I think it's game over for them. So goodbye, Burnham. You can defend Jodie Whittaker to your heart's content, but she's going to leave of her own free will, unlike you. Nigel, we talked. Keith, with his octopus brain, has forgotten the fact that we talked about the CW crossover at the beginning of December. And you, being the fastest man alive, has only just caught up.
Second, actually, only to the Flash.
It was a sarcasm, mate. You are literally the reverse Flash, where everything goes slower.
Mate. Yeah. I was so far behind on episodes, I had a build-up of about 6 episodes per series. So it's because I was so bored of the fucking bullshit that was going on in these episodes. But I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to crack on and watch them all. So the last few weeks over Christmas, I managed to watch a fair chunk of them, and I didn't have too many left over to watch since start of January this year. So I managed to watch I think it was episode 8 of Supergirl this morning, and then I've watched the first 2 episodes of the crossover event. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to see the last one yet, but I plan to do that this afternoon to find out the conclusion. And my honest opinion is the crossover events have so much more charisma and intrigue in the episodes than the standalone series from each of the 3 series. I don't know what you think.
All the characters seem to work better.
Yeah, the characters all seem...
It's like the Arrow character, when he's next to Barry, becomes so much more charismatic. It's like Oliver Queen, when you put him next to Barry Allen, work really well. It's the same with... Actually, I can say Barry kind of holds the whole thing together because everyone seems to up their game next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So it's like you've got Kara. Kara, the woman who plays Melissa Benoist, or whatever her name is, she seems to enjoy working with Grant Gustin more than she does her own fucking guys on her own show. Which I find funny. She seems genuinely happy. She seems to then output charisma as like Barry does, which I find interesting. It's like the ones I always like is I like watching Diggle on The Flash.
Yeah.
Diggle on The Flash is really good, and he should turn up once a season. He should really turn up once a season because I really enjoy seeing, Diggle in The Flash.
I do, yeah.
So you've only watched the first two. So you.
So they started off with. Yeah. So the Arrow episode is where both Oliver and Barry woke up in each other's bodies, like a mind swap sort of thing, and they get locked up in. They're acting a bit, you know, weird, a little bit crazy. But they seem to have a sort of handle on what each other can do.
They've swapped it, but they've managed to retain each other's skill sets, even though they're a bit off where they haven't used them.
Yes, not used them before. And yet Barry Allen is a dab hand at shooting arrow, despite not having to do it before, and pretty good at fighting and whatnot. It's just funny where I think they start with Oliver, don't they?
Start with Oliver waking up next to Thingy, and it's great because look.
Yeah, she's waking calling up next him. She's calling him from the kitchen.
But the reaction he has, he's still got this look on his face, like kind of, oh, great, I'm with Iris West, like we would have.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think the actors are a bit aware of how annoying she is, and I think she's aware of how annoying she's become in the TV show. So they kind of just had a slight play on that. It was like, yeah, this is fine. And it's just like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on here? And then he tests out his flash powers, which was really cool.
Yeah, I like that. I like the interaction between them two. They sort of figure it's just the interaction between them. They're locked up and he's going, yeah, you need a phase. It's really, really difficult. And he's taking the piss. And then he just phases out of the handcuffs. And he's like, oh, he goes, yeah, easy, mate. And then he phases them out. And then they realise that they've got to sort of, in order to hone each other's abilities, they have to sort of tap into the personality of the person who they've taken it from, sort of thing. So Oliver has to be nice and chirpy and happy around people, and he gets a better Flash version of him.
Yeah.
And so Barry Allen has to be a bit of a moody git and whatnot. He shouts. He doesn't shout. He goes, you have failed this city, when he's shooting the virus into the robot. And he hits it first time and it explodes. And they're like, yeah. And immediately fucking Iris is going, yeah, I don't want that Barry Allen in my life. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, fuck off, Iris.
Yeah, I don't want to sound rude, I think. Yeah. And then he gives him... It's funny because they pick on a few tropes when they go to... Because when they go to what's it, Mush's Supergirl's world, they start off by playing the Smallville tune.
Yeah.
And they were at the Smallville farm, because yes, I managed they were. That was a real fucking coup for them getting that farm. And they went, let's put the fucking music on. Go on. How much is it going to cost us? Because it's $5,000. $5,000. Oh, fuck it. I'll pay for the fucking thing then. Yeah. They probably, just for that little fucking 5 seconds of it, it's $5,000.
I didn't catch the music.
You missed
the Smallville, Smallville music.
How did you miss
that? Smallville. Yeah, how did you miss that? I watched that, and I watched it, I think, about 11 o'clock at night, and I burst out laughing. I paused it, and Tanya went, she was trying to go to sleep. She went, why are you laughing? I went, come, cause just listen, watch. And I played it. She went, oh my God, like that.
I'm going to listen back, but I was skipping through the adverts, and then I might have missed the intro music.
Okay.
So I was skipping through the adverts, as you do when it's recorded, because nobody's got time for that. So that might
ain't
be
got no time for that.
Ain't got no time for adverts, mate. So that's probably why I skipped it. Yeah. And didn't hear it. Literally didn't hear it.
Yeah.
So that I'm gonna I'm gonna undelete the episode, and then just listen to the first 5 seconds of it to go, oh yeah, that's cool, and then delete it again. Mm. So, but the episode's good. I like it. I like it when they do these, because it's such a good mashup.
So what?
Such a good mashup.
What did you make of Batgirl? Because she's got a series, or she's got a pilot.
Has she?
Yep.
Yeah, it was very obvious who Batgirl would be because she's sitting in Bruce Wayne's fucking ivory tower and, you know, she bails the people out.
Literally.
Immediately. Literally. And it was literally just after when they showed Batgirl looking down at the Flash contingent, looking at the bat signal. And you go, okay. And then next thing you know, they're chucked in jail. Over what exactly? They were walking along the street and got somebody tried to mug them, and so the police chucked them in jail.
Because Oliver Queen is a known vigilante, and he's not meant to be in Gotham under his parole or some bullshit like that. There was a written reason as to why he shouldn't be there.
In the hour, why did they lock up the other two?
Because they were associating with him.
Well, then he locked him up to figure out what was going on, and then as soon as they figured out what was going on, they let him go. But there was a little nod to Chris Nolan and to think Tim Burton. If you noticed in the street names, we're on the between Nolan and Burton.
No, I
something along those lines.
Was that
okay? Oh, maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I don't catch stuff like that.
All right, Keith, you wanted to talk about what I thought about Batgirl.
Yeah.
She's okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing beyond that. I felt sorry for the actress for getting so much shit online.
I don't know who she is. I've never seen her before.
She's not. There's not enough charisma there to carry a show with her, I'm afraid. Because you don't want. Right. What you don't want is you don't want a repeat of The Arrow, and you don't want the politics from Supergirl. But when you describe me Batwoman, they're the two things that are going to happen. So you get the shitty politics from Supergirl and the moodiness of the Arrow, which people don't like.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things.
Yeah, the Arrow, it feels depressing because most of the time nothing really goes right for Oliver or goes right for Felicity. And they're the two people who I would like shit to go right for, if you know what I mean. If I'm rooting for anybody in there, maybe Wild Dog or Mad Dog, whatever it's called. The rest of them I couldn't give a fuck about, to be honest. Diggle's all right as a, you know, sidekick and whatnot, but he's off doing his own thing now, isn't he? But it's too moody, in my opinion.
What, Arrow?
Too moody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's meant to be moody. They even reference it in this crossover, but I liked it when it was a bit more, sometimes a little bit more upbeat, something actually going right for once. I wouldn't mind if it actually went right for once for a couple of episodes and something happens that fucking tears that to shreds, because that would be in keeping with it. They did mention it, and they had a little get together, didn't they? Felicity and Oliver, albeit Oliver's in Barry Allen's skin. And then they start smooching, and you're going,
yeah.
She's seeing Barry Allen here, and she's smooching his head off.
Yeah.
It's weird for everyone looking at him. You know.
It's weird, because the other part of it, too, is if you had the bit where the old school 90s Flash turns up.
Oh, not Jay Garrick, but he calls himself Barry Allen.
He's Barry Allen, yeah, if you had him turn up.
Yeah, he turns up in the second series.
That was nice.
The bit I liked was the fact that he looked at John Diggle and turns around and goes, "Where's your ring?
What's that ring for?"
Green Lantern. Because he's supposed to be in their universe, John Stewart. But it's John Stewart Diggle. John Diggle Stewart. Yeah. And I like the idea that Diggle becomes the Green Lantern, because that would be fucking awesome. Piss out, what's his mission off something chronic?
So he's given. So Flash from Earth 90 has given Diggle the ring.
No, he hasn't given him the ring. In his universe, that character is the Green Lantern.
Yeah. But he passed him his ring. Is that the ring to change into?
That's something different.
What was that ring then?
The Green Lantern ring is a ring that gives you power that if you've never seen the Green Lantern film, and I don't blame you if you haven't, because it's bad.
Nope.
Never
seen.
But the Green Lanterns, you do catch a brief glimpse of the Green Lanterns in Justice League movie, if you've seen that. They are briefly in that. But yeah, they are. The fact is that we now know in the Belanta universe, the Green Lanterns exist. But interestingly, the Barry Allen Flash from Earth 90 was wearing the same costume as he wore in his 90s TV series.
Which he hated.
Yeah.
The actor hated. The actor said, the moment we found out we were cancelled and it was the last day of filming, I didn't let him take the suit off me. I ripped it fucking off. I was like, shit off me.
Is it the same actor?
Yes.
Who did it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Oh, right. So, yeah. So he's been Jay Garrick, hasn't he?
He's been Jay Garrick
and his dad too, yeah.
Barry Allen and what's-his-face Allen as well. Yeah. He's. But I like how... I like how the Belanti universes incorporate what's come before, because you had Dean Cain in there, you've had Terry Hatcher in Supergirl. It's great how they incorporate all, you know, what's come before. I like how they do that. And yeah, that Smallville bit. Oh, that was so good. That was just so fucking good.
I'm going to go back over and watch that, because I did enjoy Smallville.
And I quite liked what's-her-face as Lois Lane. She was quite good.
Oh, the one from Grimm.
Yeah. Yeah, she worked.
Yeah. Yeah, she, because I always forget Lois, it's got a backbone. Yeah. That's the thing that makes Lois Lane work, is she's got a backbone. She was a military brat, so she wouldn't get anywhere without speaking up. So that's kind of part essential to a character. Okay.
So, the bit I got up to is literally the end where... Matey boy, the bloke with the book, or, you know, Mr. Thanos-esque is all I can equate him to, because he's fucking, he looks like an undefeatable bastard, doesn't he? The black guy, whoever.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
He just, what's his name? Old Alan runs at him. He just flicks a finger. He disappears. Fuck, this guy's powerful. What's her face flies at him. He flicks a finger, moves her back to where, and then flicks a finger, gets a book, passes it back to Nutter. And Nutter changes everything again. So he changes it, and now Barry and Oliver are a double act fugitive or whatever.
The Trigger Twins.
The Trigger Twins.
Yeah,
they've been
Who
mentioned.
Are the Trigger Twins?
Oh, they were low-level bad guys. They were low-level bad guys that Superman and the others were just like thrown in jail once at the beginning of each comic, just to make things like that look like it was they were taking out people normally. That's who they were. So, they weren't anything special. They probably did do something special in the comics, but for all intents and purposes, these like regular villains that they deal with.
Oh, I see. I gotcha. Yeah, I was sitting there looking at him going, I don't know who these fucking... And then they've got... Who did they have in the scorecard? They had the main big bad from Arrow. Not Ramirez.
Merlin.
No. They literally just put him away.
They did have...
Cortez? No.
No, it's
Diaz.
Diaz?
Yeah. Diaz.
Yeah, Diaz as the main cop with Deathstroke. Cracking. They showed him in the previous episode, the Supergirl.
Malcolm Merlin. Yeah, Malcolm Merlin. Yeah.
No. That was in the.
The guy out of the car.
Malcolm Merlin's one of the cops.
Yeah, Merlin's one of the cops, and then the other cop
is Diaz.
Is Diaz, and then there was a third cop.
What's that?
Yeah, it was a third cop. Do you remember when the red skies were going everywhere and you had Diggle with four other people and they were trying to take out a bloke with a samurai sword and guns, shotgun shells and stuff like that?
Oh!
Not Deathstroke.
The robot.
No, not the robot. It's a person.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It's got Junior Deathstroke in it.
Junior Deathstroke. That's it. Deathstroke.
It's not Deathstroke because it's not. What's his mission? No. It's his son. I can't remember his
fucking
name.
Yeah, it's his son. Yeah.
It's Junior Deathstroke, all right.
Him. Those three got out of the car. So they've got the three bad people throughout the universes and turned them into cops. And they've swapped Arrow and Flash into the bad guys. And then out of nowhere, at the end of the episode, you've got Superman, who isn't in this Earth, is he? He's from another Earth.
Yeah.
Same as Kara, 38 or whatever. Dressed in full-on black. It's basically a Venom suit, isn't it? It's a Venom black
There is a black suit. It's Superman. I can't remember.
Is it?
It's something to do with a guy called Hank Henshaw and a load of other Supermen that cropped up all at the same time after he died in the 90s.
Turns up and says, "You're not getting away again," sort of thing. And you're thinking, if they're low-level crooks, how are they always getting away and why are they chasing? Why is Superman? If they're low-level crooks, why is Superman chasing? That's my question.
I did love the fact that the Arrow... Arrow goes, "If we're going to be crooks, we might as well behave like crooks," and then drops a crane and says, "You've got to go and save them, I'm afraid." It's like, all the shit that get put through. Yeah, he does. He drops a crane on a crowd. Yeah, he goes, "You've got to save them and so we can get away," and they manage to get away. But
In the last episode, which I haven't seen yet then.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering how they were going to get away from Superman.
Oh, that's the very beginning of it, because he behaves like a villain. All right, that's...
Interested. I like it. Did you like all of it altogether, and was the conclusion satisfying?
Oh yes, because of what
I don't describe it as what it wasn't satisfying because it didn't have the legends in it, which I didn't like.
It didn't have them in, did it?
But they made a joke in the Legends of Tomorrow episode as to why they're not in it, which was very fucking funny.
I couldn't find that joke, Keith.
Yeah, it's in it.
What was the joke?
The guy, basically, there was a bit where they go, because they got their own thing going on in that two-parter that they did. There was one point where they're going, "Oh, we've been called back to Earth," and the captain just basically goes, "Fuck them." They go, "Oh, they need our help for another crossover," or something like that. It was a blatant sort of thing, and effectively she goes, "Fuck them." they carry on. It was like this throwaway joke, but it was really quite funny.
Okay.
I didn't catch it.
I watched it and looked out for it. And okay.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Good. Yeah, I like it. I'm maybe not too interested in watching when they come back. Because, like you said, after the crossover episodes, they don't sort of stay at the same level, do they?
But the Flash has got something interesting going on, so. I want to see what's going on with that. I'm not sure about the Arrow. Legends, I like. Legends is the one I just genuinely like watching because it's entertaining. Supergirl, go fuck yourself. Supergirl is terrible.
Really bad. Yeah,
it was bad in season two, and then it just went downhill. And the shit they do doesn't make any fucking sense. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about some gaming news. Can I flop it out? All right, here we go.
Flop it out.
Activision, right? We've been taking the piss out of Bethesda for Fallout 76 for fucking weeks. Activision's been going to the shit too, as well as EA. And what's happened with Activision is we had because it's Activision Blizzard technically, we had the Blizzard debacle with the mobile game and not the desktop version of it. And their share prices have literally fallen off a cliff. You could look at a chart for like the last 6 months, and you could just see this massive just drop. If you think Apple stock was going bad, Activision stock much fucking worse. So they did that. So they've lost two chief financial officers. And if you know anything about how corporations are set up, the second most important person in the business is the chief financial officer, because they're the ones who have to sign off on all the budgets and all the other stuff. So the main guy, the main person at Activision, who's their chief financial officer, is a guy called Spencer Newman. It's just a dick name. All right. Sorry.
Poor bloke.
I'm sorry. You're worth millions. You can take it, all right? You've got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank account. You can take me saying that your name's a bit shit. All right, so a guy called Spencer Newman. And what happened is Spencer Newman was poached by Netflix. So Netflix came over and went, oh, we need a new chief financial officer because our one's going. And he went, how much? And they went, this much. And dropped a wheelbarrow full of cash on his lawn. And Terry goes, that's a day's worth of money. And he went, I'm in. And unfortunately, due to his contract with Activision, he's not allowed to go and look for other jobs, yeah, without their permission or understanding, so they can keep the business running, because, as I said, second most important person in the company. And because of that, he was fired. Then you've got Blizzard CFO. God, what was her name? Oh, God, Amrit Ahuja, who I can barely pronounce. Again, another shit name, because I can't pronounce it. So Amrit Ahuja was working for Blizzard. And apparently the payment processor Square came up to her, like Netflix came up to Spencer, and turned around and went, we need a new CFO. His small token of appreciation, dropped another wheelbarrow full of cash on the lawn, and she went, fuck it, I'm gone. And they went, and now the speculation behind it, one is that Activision and Blizzard together aren't doing very well because of all their practices and whatnot. Their finances are in the fucking toilet, and these people have seen the fact that their finances are in the toilet. Because they're in the toilet, they've gone, fuck it, we'll get off the sinking ship before it, you know, before it actually hits the falls beneath the waves. So they've buggered off, and if you look at the share prices, that also indicates that they're falling off. But here comes the funny thing is when they to divert everyone's attention from this, they pulled a Kevin Spacey, and it was like, no, Kevin Spacey, when he was getting accused of everything, turned around and goes, oh, I'm gay. Yeah, because it's fine, because I'm gay. That makes me immune. Yeah, like it's a get out of fucking jail free card Monopoly. They've done a similar thing where they got one of their characters, a character called Soldier 76 in Overwatch, and then they retconned him to be gay. And the term is retcon, to be gay. Just so people would then look at it and they get some kind of positive press, because they believe that people give a shit about those things rather than if you balanced his stats out right. It's this character needs to be nerfed because they're a bit too powerful. Yeah, have you sorted out your fucking net code? So when I shoot someone, they die. So yeah, they did that, which was very stupid, and the shells have fallen off. And they've also, to top it off, for this tumultuous week, Bungie went, Activision, I'm not happy, I want a divorce. And they've gone to Activision, and I'm sure that there are rules. I'm sure because of Activision's financial situation that Bungie very cleverly put in their contracts, if you change our funding and how we operate, we're off. We can go. We have the option to leave. You can change it, but we can leave. If you change it, we have that option. And they've seen the fact that Activision have seen the fact that the funding's not gone right, and Destiny 2 didn't sell very well, and they've turned around and gone, well, we're going to cut your funding. And to which Bungie turned around, pulled the contract out, and gone, you change our funding, we fuck off. You agreed, and we agreed, yeah. And at the same time, I think Bungie haven't been very happy with them because they've been telling them what to do. So the monetization, getting things out when they're not ready. Because the beginning of Destiny, you were supposed to have three starting locations. Yeah, you were supposed to have the one that you got, which was the Earth one for human characters. One in the asteroid belt for the blue-skinned people. I can't fucking remember what they're called. Yeah, and then one for the robot people. But they had to cut the whole thing down into one location. So they were told to strip stuff out. And I don't think they were, as a creative entity, weren't happy with doing that. So now Bungie have turned around and gone, right, we're off, and here comes the really cool bit. We're taking Destiny with us, because they were planning to do Destiny for the next 10 years, and then when it was finished, wrap it up and fuck off. So that's good, the fact that they got to take Destiny with them, because when they left Microsoft, they weren't allowed to take Halo with them, but considering that Halo's so integral to the Xbox, it would be stupid for Microsoft to let them take Halo with them, because that'd be dumb. I can play Halo on the fucking PS4. Why do I need an Xbox? So Activision's had a really fucking shit time of late. It's the beginning of the year, and it's like everything has fallen apart from the sales for Black Ops haven't been as profitable as they'd liked. And they seem to be failing to innovate. Where everyone was trying to be Call of Duty, Call of Duty is trying to be PUBG and Fortnite. So everyone's, all the investors are looking at it and they're all jumping ship like you should do, because you can't have indefinite growth if you don't expand your product base. And instead of doing the sensible things and getting new IPs in and trying to build them up to the level of Call of Duty, which the only one they did was fucking Destiny. And instead of doing that, Activision has just been, how can I put it, just letting things go and not putting things to replace. Yeah? And on top of that, Blizzard seem to have lost their sight of making video games and now making mobile games. Now, mobile games make money, but I think there's going to be some laws in place soon in regards to children. It's like, you can have these practices in place for adults, that is fine. But when it comes to children, no, you fucking don't. You can't have it so it's like a fucking fruit machine. That's interesting. So that was Activision. Activision have had a shit week. Randy Pitchford. Randy Pitchford, the man who bought us Borderlands and the abomination known as Aliens Colonial Marines. A guy who quite will lie to your face to make sure things sell. Randy Pitchford was in a place called Medieval Times, which we were going to go to when we were in Florida, if you remember correctly, Nigel, which is like a medieval restaurant.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. We were going to go to that, but we didn't in the end. Randy Pitchford left a USB thumb drive in there with some questionable material on it, shall we say? And, and it's a case of he's being investigated now just to make sure that he's not... how can I put it? Pedo. So, so it was, and apparently he's been throwing some wild parties and whatnot. Randy Pitchford looks like he's in trouble. It's a story I think we'll keep an eye on, because he's a bit of a scumbag when it comes to these sort of things. And I'm going to top off my gaming news with the most egregious fucking thing to happen since the whole Blizzard, here is Diablo and it's on phones. And it kind of rings exactly the same. Now, Fox, because Alien is 40 years old this year, have been teasing what they call the read, play, watch thing for Alien.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we getting a new Alien film? Are we getting a new Alien game? The best Alien game so far is Alien Isolation, because that's the one that captures the whole fucking terror of dealing with a bloody xenomorph in a tight, confined space. And everyone was hoping that they were going to sit there and say, Creative Assembly are now working on Alien Isolation 2, and it will be called, and we all thought it was going to be called, Alien Blackout. Yeah, because everything seems to be all the marketing material seems to be focused on Amanda Ripley, and Amanda Ripley is the character in Alien Isolation. So everyone was getting excited. We were all frothing at the mouth, going, "Oh, this is going to be it." And then they released a Five Nights at Freddy's style Alien Isolation game for mobile, and everyone's just gone, "You fucking what? What have you done there?" Let's get one thing right, yeah? It's a pay once jobby. You pay once, you buy the game, that's it.
At least that's something.
Well done. Yeah, if you're going to release a mobile game, make it a pay once. Yeah, I'll happily pay a fixed fee for a game as long as it's good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the most I spent on a mobile game is XCOM, which I got for about $12.99. So I could play it on my phone when I was away and on my tablet, apart from it's a very large file. So I had that was good. And then it was like, okay, maybe there are more games, yeah? So everyone was asking, okay, all right, you brought out Alien Isolation, Alien Blackout, is there going to be any more games? And everyone waited, and then no, there are going to be no more games. And then it was like, oh, thanks, guys. Thanks a fucking bunch. You gave us one mobile game. If you turned and said that they're working on it, That would have been something. We got Creative Assembly and they're working on it. And I find it ironic that Creative Assembly, a strategy game company, yeah, known for Total War, not for Total War, yeah, for Total War and Warhammer, came up with a first-person survival game better than most fucking sort of first FPS companies. I found that because I think it's because they had a different way of looking at it. And it's like, oh, you're doing this wrong.
And that come from a strategy point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
They strategize.
Anyway, I'll ask your guys' thoughts, and then Keith can flop out his minge, his man minge,
as he does.
So, what do you think about those stories that I fucking copped off?
Well, Destiny 2 wasn't so great, so I'm not surprised it didn't sell so well.
Agree. I did play that a fair bit, but it just couldn't grip me.
But Bungie seemed to be fucking off from everybody. So, you know, they was this their second divorce?
Yeah, it's Microsoft and now Activision, so. They're officially a gaming MILF. Because it's like, oh, that Destiny's got proper, you've got, you know, you could do something with that if you did it right. And I don't think they were happy the way they monetized it. I think that they were happy with just putting out the, what do you call it? The packs, the game packs they were putting out. And I was happy with them putting out the game packs. But when they're sitting there charging a couple of dollars for a fucking emote, no, it's not right.
Yeah.
Show us your man, Minge.
I'm not that right. There's a new series on Netflix that came out the other day, and it's called Sex Education, right? And it had the bloke, the kid that was in Ender's Game that played Ender, right? And it's got Gillian Anderson in it. So when you see something with Gillian Anderson in it, it kind of catches your attention. So I turned this on. And I started watching the first episode with the curtains drawn so everybody can see in. And literally the first scene on TV is two people shagging. She goes, "Do you like my boobs?" "Yes, I like your boobs, but I don't want my neighborhood to be looking at your boobs. So I had to close the curtains." And when you first watch it, you think, oh, this is set in the 70s, until she whips out a smartphone. You're like, huh? Where is this set? So the only way I can describe this is that whoever's making this, or who's ever in charge of the aesthetics of this show, could not decide where to set it or what fucking era to set it in. So he set it in every era and everywhere. So there are parts that are very English. There are parts that are American. But there's this... All the actors are English. They've all got English accents. But they look American. Some look like they're from the 1980s sort of E.T. era, Spielberg era, because one's wearing like a little sort of, you know, what do you call them? Body warmers. But
shell suit.
Yeah, typically.
No. So, life preserver style thing, like Marty McFly wore in.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So then you've got the school itself, and you've got jocks walking around with you know, the red jackets on and the yellow on the back, which is just not English at all. They've all got like these yellow lockers, which is a really American thing. The high school, depending on where they go, can be from the 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, right? The homes that they're all in, I can't. This is shot in England, but I don't know where, because all the homes look American or Canadian. Because one, the main kid lives in what I can only describe as a log cabin.
Okay.
Gillian Anderson's putting on her English accent again. It just doesn't quite work. You just hear that. You hear the undertones of Scully. She's forever typecasting that role.
Scully undertones.
I mean, it's a funny series. Basically, the premise is that the sort of Ender guy is, his mum is Gillian Anderson. She's a sex therapist. And she's shagging everybody. And he wakes up every morning. He's got his own problems. Like, he's having wet dreams and he can't masturbate or he can't come. But he's giving out advice. He finds this niche. He starts giving out advice to people in school, and they realize that this can become a business. So he basically becomes a sex therapist to the young, and you know all that stuff that comes with it. And it is quite funny, but I'm just too distracted by the look of this thing because it's just like, what is this? It's weird. It's weird. It won't appeal to the Americans because there's British accents everywhere. And the English are going, where is this? Because it's, you know, it's English. It sounds English. It doesn't look English. And it doesn't even look like it's set in any one era. That's the thing. There's like, there's 50s stuff in there. There's 70s stuff in there. There's 80s stuff in there. There's like a real sort of Spielberg 80s sort of, you know, what's his face, vibe.
E.T. Phone Home.
Yeah, and, you know, God, what's the thing we all like on Netflix? My brain's not working tonight. The 80s.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. It's got a little bit of that thrown in. It's fucking weird. There's no. You've got watch an episode of this. You'll get what I mean. It's just whoever's doing this should be fired, because yeah, make your minds up when you're setting this. And like the other thing, all the kids are wearing their own clothes, which you know. In English schools, we wear uniforms, and we definitely don't have jocks. We don't have people walking around with the. But then you don't even know what sport they're playing. They're just jocks. It makes no fucking sense. And it distracts you from actually what is quite a funny comedian. You know, the main character is quite funny. There's some interesting stuff going on because his counterpart in this is a girl that's obviously living on her own in the trailer park. And it literally is a trailer park, which again. And she's just become pregnant and she's doing right. So there's some emotional drama and there's some characterization there. And I like the kid, I like the main characters in it. His best mate is gay, which you know, but again, it's and there's funny.
Oh, sorry, hang on. His best mate's gay. Oh, shock, surprise.
Yeah. but it's weird, and there's no, I it's the look of it. And if you were just listening to it, it would totally work as an audio, but it's just weird. The look of it is weird, and I don't get it. I don't get how somebody can set it in every fucking era. It's like they can't make their mind up. It is worth watching an episode, but I can only watch one episode and then I get annoyed because it's just like, what is this? What were you fucking thinking when you designed this? It's like,
he was thinking boobs.
I think he was on some particular fucking decent strain of ganja by the looks of it, because seriously. Yeah, anyway. But I like to say, again, I'd like to recommend to you both, start watching Counterpart. That's my recommendation. It's on Amazon Prime.
What?
Fucking watch it. It's good. It's like really good. It's J.K. Simmons. That man is just good in everything he's ever in. He is a proper character actor, and he is brilliant in this. It's very... Okay. Very, very worth watching. And one of the guys in it, one of the actors in it, British actor, who was in Doctor Who, he was in the two-part episode where Tennant loses his memory, and we had those aliens, and they were called the Family.
Yeah.
He was one of them in that. And
Was he brother of mine?
Yes. And okay. He's in this, and he's very good in this. He's a bit of a weasel.
Okay.
He plays the weasel very well, but it's good. I want you to watch it because I want to talk about it. We're getting the episode next week or this week, it's actually airing tonight, where we actually find out how the whole thing was created. So I'm looking forward to that because I've got loads of fucking questions.
Okay, just be careful, because on Amazon Prime, there's another Counterpart from 2013. Looks a bit adult, shall we say.
Okay, no, this is the TV series starring J.K. Simmons, among others.
Okay.
Worth a watch.
All right.
Really good.
And I think it's time to wrap this bastard up and put a bow on it. So, it's now Keith's got his man minge out, aired it, put it away. we can go home now. And and on that note, on that very sour, pongy note, it's time for us to say goodbye.
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 And we'll catch you in the next podcast.
He's got that image. He's got that image in his head. He's got that fucking image in his head. Bye-bye. Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.